Hello, everyone. Welcome again to Heart to Heart. It's time now to talk from the heart. The Holy Spirit has much to say, and He always speaks from the heart to our heart. And I thank the Lord for that. I thank the Lord for the anointing to do His will. It's a blessing to live according to God's word. Do what He say do. Be a blessing to His people. And that's what it's all about. God loves us. His love runs deep. He sincerely loves all of His people. And we matter to Him. He makes a difference through our lives as we yield our lives to Him. Yielding your life to the Lord is just choosing to operate according to His word. It doesn't take away your identity. It enhances it. Remember, you are His creation. He created you. But He made us with a free will. We serve God because we choose to. God always wanted to be chosen. Just like many ministers, they want, you know, the word says many are called, but few are chosen. Well, people want to be chosen. And people usually want to be chosen for the works, the greater works. Usually that'll make them look good. But not always to solve problems. And sometimes people want to make a difference. They have a yearning, a burning desire to be a blessing to people, to make a difference. They want to see people get healed and set free once they find out about the generous power of God. Once they learn about the love of God and experience the love of God through salvation. When I first got saved, I felt the peace of God. I felt like a brand new man. I felt like a brand new man. And before that, the devil said, if you get saved, you're going to be bored. He tried to put a damper on it. But this was just before I asked the Lord to save me. That was the last thought He gave me while I was in the world. And I thought He was telling the truth. I thought I would be bored according to the way I thought. I thought I'd be bored. I said, I don't care. This is right. Jesus paid a high price for me to live, and I believe on Jesus. And I asked the Lord to save me. I said, Lord, please wash my sins away. I believe that your blood washed my sins away, and I believe you rose for my justification. Because I had good teachers. I had Mark and Charlie, they were good at ministering the gospel the right way. And sometimes that's all people need. And they did it at the right time. My cousin did the same thing about almost 10 years prior. And my daddy was a man of God that called people to the altar all the time. But that time, they came and they reaped the harvest. And I was ready. I wasn't sure that I could do right. And when I was a child, I didn't, you know, I thought that it was just kind of up to God whether I'd be saved or not. And then as I got older, it was broken down. I had to make a choice. I didn't know I had to make a choice. Some people don't know they got to make a choice. With God, all things is your choice. Everything is relevant to your choice. If you're sick, you got to choose to be healed. Jesus asked the man at the pool of Bethesda, will you be made whole? Now, it's the same situation now. People in so much pain, they got grief, they worried, they think they're going to die. And if Jesus walked in that room, sometimes he'd ask them, will you be made whole? They think it's up to God. You got to choose healing. You got to choose your path. You got to choose victory. If things are not right in your life, attack it with the plan of God. Go to God, get a plan of attack, and use it. Rob Parsley had a child with special needs, had diagnosed with autism, said he'd never read a book, never do this, never go to school, never finish school, never go to college. And he pulled over on the way from the doctor's office and asked the Lord what to do. It's on YouTube. He was interviewed by Sid Roth. And the Lord told him, naturally, attack it supernaturally, and attack it with a seed. That's what he said. And then his son graduated college. Healed. God can heal. The word said Jesus went about and healed people of all diseases, even lunacy, even mental diseases. So when you have any form of challenge, you have to choose. I got a daughter born. She's got special needs. But she's made so much progress. I'm believing God for total victory. I'm going to take my breakthrough. I choose for her to live in her right mind. She can read some words now. She taught herself to swim. But she's got some learning to do. And I thank God for it. You know, she was born premature, had a hole in her heart. Me and my wife joined hands. We believed God. And the hole was closed up. They didn't have to operate. The same doctor said that the hole was too large and he didn't have to operate. Told us that the hole had closed. There's no reason for an appointment. And there's no reason for a follow-up appointment. No reason for the surgery, no reason for a follow-up appointment. She's fine. And she's very strong. And I thank God for that. Milestones. And we go forward. And she can say some words. But it's not the full manifestation is what I'm going to get. That's what we're going to have because I choose for her to receive it. Now, sometimes you have to choose beyond what you're used to. In my situation, this was more than I was used to. By the time she was born, I was used to people getting healed. But a mental challenge, I wasn't used to it. I had no experience. So I said, well, we'll conquer this too. You got to make a choice to go forward. We have to make a choice. We make a choice to get saved. God wants to be chosen. He wants to be chosen on purpose. Ministry gets people to the point where they can make a choice on purpose. That's what ministry is designed to do. You don't really have to coerce people into getting saved. You tell them what Jesus did. If they want to get saved, nothing will stop them. If they don't want to get saved, nothing will stop them. And false pretense never works. That's why so many people are going to fall away. They came with false pretense. They never got to know the Lord. They tried to blend the world with the word. And that never works. Preachers preach compromise. They preach the problem sometimes. Trying to soothe people into thinking everything's all right. And sometimes they really believe it. They think the problems come from God. Poor preaching. Poor studying, they went into a school and got taught poor logic. It's almost a tongue twister. They got poor information, and then they preach poor information, and the people believe poor information, and it divides homes, it divides people from God, it divides people from their blessing. And those that are truly saved, they live on barely get along street. When the word of God is not written that way, the word of God is written. If it don't fit Genesis 1 and 2, it don't fit God. In the beginning, you have to look what God did in the first place. Every time people leave what God did in the first place, they have problems. Every time. God made one man, one woman. He didn't make one man and three women. He made one man, one woman. Not one man, another man. He made one man, one woman. And that was our pattern. He made the garden so man could make the whole earth look like that garden. He did everything in seed form. And he said the life of the seed is in itself. And the seed produced after its kind. He was telling Adam, what you want your children to be, you got to be. All creation. An oak tree, the seed of an oak tree will always produce an oak tree. The seed of a pear tree will always produce a pear tree. But men get to playing around. Now they want to graft in branches and things. Okay. They take a plum tree and graft in another branch and grow pear. You know, they want to do things like that. But that's not what God did in the first place. If you want a pear tree, plant a pear tree. If you want a peach tree, plant a peach tree. But man always want to mess with stuff. And leave and forget about what God did in the first place. And the whole word of God is written. He put two trees in the garden so we can make a choice. God want to be chosen. He wants the path you take. He wants you to choose. His perfect will is available to you. It will be revealed not at once, but over time. You're going to have to trust him with the first thing he tell you to do. And he'll give you the second thing. And you trust that again. And the third thing, all the way up to the thousandth thing. That's following God. He wants to be chosen. And if you choose him, he's preparing you for a mighty work. And if you're serious about doing something great for the Lord, follow the path. And stay away from the distraction. Do what God did in the first place. What did he call? What did he called you to solve a problem. And if you're following that path, he chose you. If he know you're finished, he chose you to follow a certain path. When he called me to the ministry, he said, "Behold, I have chosen you." He said, "Behold, you are my child. I have chosen you, and you should be a vessel of honor." I didn't realize the word chosen. I knew that many are called, few are chosen. I was chosen. And then to make the calling and election true, one day in 1988, which was a year later after I'd been called to the ministry, I made a dedicated decision. I said, "Lord, I'm going to obey you. Whether I like it, whether I don't, whether I understand it or not, I'm going to do exactly what you say." I made a vow. And a lot of my choices, the reason I chose them was because of that vow. Not because I'm so honorable. Not because I should have did it by my faith. I did it because I was keeping my word. And I found out something. If you follow God, it's going to be terrific. And it's not going to look terrific. But it's going to be terrific. And it's not going to look terrific, except for when you're in his presence doing what he said do, just because he said do it. You're going to have a lot of questions. You're going to wonder why in the world he did it that way. You're going to consider how people look at you, and it really don't matter. But if you trust God beyond your ability to understand, it's going to work. And you're going to enter into a work that cannot be stopped, that's going to make the difference God desires. Now, it's all about looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of your faith. You believe him in the first place, believe him till the end of it. Paul said, I have run my race. He ran his course. He fought the good fight. You can choose to do the same thing. It's easy. It's easier than putting up with the world. But what the victory that God gave us in the first place, even before he called us, he gave us authority over Satan. He did the hard stuff. He took authority. He took the authority that Satan had over us through sin. When he destroyed our sin, he destroyed Satan's authority. He cut all the strings that attached us to that devil. And never involve fear. See, fear always, 100% of the time, involves Satan into your situation. Don't fear when it comes to your marriage. Don't fear when it comes to your children. Instead of looking at the things that are obviously bad, look unto the Lord, because people are easy for God to deal with. You look to him, he'll give you wisdom, words to speak that'll make the difference. If the difference can be made, you'll make the difference. Because people have a will. They got to get to the point where they choose God. And it can happen. But it'll happen better if you do it God's way. You can't badger people into going to church. Badger people into getting saved. And you don't have to. Let the word do that work. Speak God's word and act on it and live it. People, they'll have to come to the end of themselves on their own. They're going to have to choose God because that's what's right or not. Everybody's got a right to make whatever choice they want to make. But live your standards. You don't have to put up with other people telling you how to do what you're supposed to do. And your ministry is nobody else's business. It's God's business. He's the only one you need to regard. But as you obey him, he will use others to strategically confirm what he's doing in your life. And they still won't have a clue up to what God is doing in your life. They'll speak the right words under the anointing at the right time. And they'll confirm. And you got to keep mixing faith with what God gives. It's the format. See, the format is in the instruction. You obey the instruction, you'll learn what the format is. And then you'll have faith in the format and continue acting on it, and it will work. Easy. Easy peasy. All right. Now, in ministry, let's look at something that an anointed person did. And then we'll see what not to do. Because this anointed person was an angel called Lucifer. This is Isaiah chapter 14, verse 12. It says, "How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. Thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Yet thou shalt be brought down the hill to the sides of the pit." Now these are the statements, the five statements that Satan, that Lucifer made that caused him to be a devil. This is a devil's desire. Now, if you go back to the garden, if you see what God did in the beginning, that's his structure, that's the way he does things. That what Lucifer did is not the way God does things. And he knew better. Because before God made Adam, he made Lucifer. And Lucifer was once in the position that Adam was in the garden. Now, the two trees in the garden, Adam was supposed to choose the tree of life and continue making the earth look just like that garden. It was going to take a long time, but he had all the animals under his authority. He had dominion over them. And in those days, the animals could talk. They could reason. Remember when Balaam's donkey, when the Lord told him not to go seeing King Balak, and he did it anyway, and the donkey was on the path, And the donkey saw the angel of the Lord with a sword standing there to kill Balaam. And the donkey went against the bank and crushed Balaam's foot. And he was mad. He was going to kill the donkey. But the word says that the Lord loosed the vocal cords of the donkey. And she spake, saying, why are you hitting me? And then he's talking to the donkey, dialoguing with the donkey. It didn't say that the Lord enabled the donkey to talk and gave her the wit to do it. All it said that the Lord did was loosed her vocal cords. And then she spoke with memory. Now, with sin in the world, you don't need animals talking, so the Lord made them dumb. And a lot of people train animals, and sometimes animals act like they can understand language. And I believe they can. If they're around enough to learn, they learn. They're very wily. But it said that her vocal cords were loose. And in the garden, the serpent spoke. And it seemed like it was normal. It did. It didn't say Adam and Eve got surprised because the serpent spoke. Animals did speak. But with the devil out there that can inspire them, you don't need them speaking. We're not used to animals speaking, except for a parrot. But they don't really use language to throw thoughts. They're like a recorder. But anyway, in those days, Adam was supposed to make the earth look like their garden. And God showed him how to put plants together, how to plant the, flowers under the shade trees to help them last. It was a lot of wisdom in the way God did it. I know that because he gave me this writing called The Garden of Heaven. It's on my old website, newlivingletters.com. livingletterministries.com. And in that writing, I learned some things about the Garden of Heaven, the Garden of Eden. And that's when I learned that Adam was supposed to make the whole world like that garden. Now, that was going to take a lot of work and effort to make the planet look like that garden. But what Lucifer was saying he was going to do, he said, verse 12, this is Isaiah 14, verse 12. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. He's going to arise over people that are already there. Then he's going to be a king in the next jurisdiction. He will exalt his throne above the stars of God. He was going to usurp their authority. Then I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation. So he's going to supersede another class of angels in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds, and I will be like the Most High. He's going to usurp authority over all these different realms. And he's not going to contribute anything. And this was in his heart. He was just going to promote himself over everybody. And he was not qualified. He didn't even finish making his own planet right. Okay, I guess. Because he should have still been down in his own jurisdiction. It said that he was... He said, how thou fallen, O Lucifer, son of the morning? His name was Lucifer, which meant light bearer. Morning represents he had a beginning. And he had a very important part to play. In Ezekiel 28, it tells us that he was anointed. He was anointed to do something, to bear light, to live an example of choosing God. And I say that because that's what Adam was designed to do. But he failed. He chose another path. In all that you do, never choose the alternative path. The enemy will give you an easy route. You have to stick with what God gives. People going to ask you to, come pastor this church. It's already put together. That may not be what God get. If God didn't lead you to do that, that's an alternative. You got to stick with the path that God set. You can't take the easy route all the time. And sometimes the Lord may use you there for a season. You have to get that information from the Lord. I can't give you that information because I don't know. And never, if you deviate, you leave the format and the strategy of God. And there are going to be things that it won't work. It won't fit. I asked the Lord, should I go to a Bible college? That didn't fit the plan. And pastoring the church, that didn't fit the plan either. God didn't call me to pastor. He called me to be an apostle. And he was determined. He knew what he was doing. I didn't. I didn't even know what an apostle was, but I had the anointing for it. So before he revealed it to me, he used me as an apostle, but I didn't know it. And when he told me what I was, everything that he had me doing made sense. Because it fit. Blew my mind, but it fit. So I wanted to see how everything goes, so I continued to follow God. Now the Lord showed us this example. I'm going to show you another one that Jesus did. See, it's a fine line between love and hate, which is pride. If pride becomes important, you've got to rebuke it, just like it's lust, because it's sin. One scripture said, do nothing for vainglory, because that's death, and the ministry should be life. And the way we do it should be life. Okay, this is St. John chapter 13 at the Last Supper. They were about to have the this is, you know, when they went to the upper room at the Last Supper. It says, now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that the hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own, which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. Verse 2, and the supper being ended, the devil having now put into Judas Iscariot, and the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things unto his hands, and that he was come from God and went to God, he arises from the supper and laid aside his garments and took a towel and girded himself. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. Then cometh he to Simon Peter, and Peter saith unto him, Lord, doest thou wash my feet? Jesus answered and said unto him, what I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. See, some things the Lord do, you may not know right then, but you will know after that. He said, what I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. Peter saith unto him, thou shalt never wash my feet. Jesus answered, if I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. Simon Peter saith unto him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. Jesus said to him, he that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit. And ye are clean, but not all. For he knew who should betray him. Therefore he said, he, ye are not all clean. So after he had washed their feet and had shaken and had taken his garments and was set down again, he said unto them, know ye what I have done to you? Ye call me Master and Lord, and ye say, well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that ye should do as I have done to you. This is totally opposite of what Lucifer did when he was Lucifer. Lucifer wanted to be served. Now Jesus, not only is he going to die for them, but he washed their feet before he died so that they'll have a memory etched in their mind and in their heart of what kind of love they should portray. Now remember, God does everything in spirit and in truth. God's love comes from the heart. It's not a dog and pony show. It's not an act. It's not a theatric. It's real. The love God has for us is real. It's so real that he suffered and died for us. Now, the next time you struggle to believe God for healing, understand, before you choose to be here, realize that the Lord paid a high price for your healing. There are times I wouldn't have pursued some things, but I thought about the high price Jesus paid. He suffered. They beat him. Go back and read it for yourself. Now, these are Roman soldiers. They say they beat him with 39 stripes. He didn't get beat by Jewish soldiers. Roman soldiers, they hit him so much with that cat of nine tails. They say they braided glass into it and metal. And it ripped the flesh off the bone. And they beat him so much he didn't even look like a man anymore. By his wounds and by his stripes, they left stripes on him. Chunks of meat from him. And then they put a crown of thorns on his head. So anybody you know with mental problems, remember, they put a crown of thorns on Jesus' head. The total man is healed. If you have missing limbs, God can do creative miracles. He paid the price already. Whatever your need is, whatever stage of cancer you know of, take your healing from God if you want to honor him. Don't be defeated because you don't have to be. Choose healing and stick with it. Because Jesus paid a high price and he did it from the heart. When Jesus washed their feet, he meant that I love you. He did it in sincerity. They could tell. And it was etched in their memory, in the memory of their heart, and also the memory of their mind. They never, none of them never forgot it.